Roll call verification of quorum. Looks as though we have a quorum for sure. So let's do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
One would hope.
Okay. Our director has done a tremendous job this week of getting, and her assistant, getting everything out to everybody early. Is there anybody that hasn't gone over the agenda? That being said, can I have a motion to accept the agenda?
I'd make a motion that we accept the agenda as published.
All right, I'll second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
So that is approved. Now, the treasurer's report.
Okay. I signed the reconciliation paper for all of the stuff. Okay, Community Bank of Colorado, our checking account, we had a beginning balance of $594,666.70. We had transactions of $79,303.54. So we had, there were a couple of other transactions. So it, we ended up with an ending balance of $649,612.66. This is because there were transactions, new transaction totals were, there was an additional $21,395.64. This was checks and payments, 28 items. Was done in the latter part of the month. The reconciliation for the payroll account, there was a beginning balance of $139,786.54. We deposited $63,389.30. I don't know where the 389 came from. But anyway, payroll was done. So we have an ending balance of $160,616.83. And I have to assume that's because it did not show the debit for payroll at that time, which will probably increase that by at least $60,000 doing the payroll. So that's why it shows so much in the payroll account, because payroll has not been deducted from that yet when this reconciliation was done. Does that make sense to everybody? Any other questions on that one? Okay, our Bank of the West, our Money Market Plus, we had a beginning balance of $713,817.72. We made or was paid interest of $1,232.07. So we have an ending balance of $715,049.79. I love that, how we get $1,200 a month. Our community bank, I should have done this first before the Bank of the West, but our community bank money market account, we have $682,865.18 in it. Unfortunately, this doesn't earn quite so much. We were paid $140.32 for an ending balance of $883.05.50. I haven't asked her yet, but Susan was going to talk to them about giving us a better rate. We don't know if that's happened yet. I'm hoping they'll do something and give us a similar terms of what we get Bank of the West, because we ought to be making $800-900 a month, or close to $1,000. But we haven't changed that yet, because we only get, what is it, 0.5 versus 0.25 at the other bank. In fact, I don't want to be a pill, but maybe we could talk to Community Bank about, maybe we'll take the money market out of there and give it to the Bank of the West if they can't do a better rate for us. I don't know how mean we can get with them, but.
Yeah. I talked with the woman about it, and she was going to email me back, and she hasn't. And I emailed her to follow up with her, but I haven't heard back. So I was in the other day, and she wasn't in the office. So I'll check next time.
Okay. That's something that, based on what we find out, maybe the board next month, we can talk about this again, about whether we want to leave it at this minuscule amount that they pay us versus Bank of the West.
Are there any, just going around the table here, has anybody got any feelings about that? I mean, I think what you're saying, but we kind of always, you know, glaze over it. You know, we should be making more money.
Well, the Fed raised the interest rate again today.
Yeah, we should be making more money.
Yes.
Yeah, and honestly, that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I found out there's another bank within the county that we could look at. So there's a branch in Kiowa of, I want to say Farmers Bank or something like that.
Possibly, yeah.
Which I think is based out of somewhere in El Paso, northern El Paso County, the headquarters. But it's part of a larger, and I do believe that it is part of the. We can only invest in certain banks.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, you know, when I talked with the woman at Community Banks, it is a hardship for them to hold our money, because they have to hold our money. They can't like use it like they do other people's money to loan it, because they have to be sure that our money is there mm-hmm. in the case that we need it. So.
Are we treated different at the Bank of the West in that they're not holding the money per se?
I don't know. I don't know.
I wonder if we should ask that question.
Yeah. That would be a good idea. We'll check with them.
Alan, is that something you want
to? I need to understand the reasoning at Community Bank first before I go accost or ask the question at Bank of the West. But maybe we'll check that out, and I'll ask that question. Because it's theoretically, heaven forbid that we would have something other that we would need to tap in to those funds to do something. But originally, I mean, the original thought is sooner or later we're going to do some construction somewhere, and we're going to be tapping into X amount of that money. And
well, yeah, I mean, that was going to be my, you know, my point is whether we like it or not. I mean, this is a year where a lot of people are focused on growth, you know, certainly development. And with the Proposition HH kind of thing, property taxes, et cetera. And so there's a heightened awareness of finances and stuff. And I think the more in tune with, you know, sort of demonstrating that we're being good fiduciaries of the, you know, county's money, you know, at every point that we can sit there and say, well, yeah, we saw this as a plus that we could go and get a better rate here. Because I don't know anybody else in this county that's doing that.
Well, the other question is, we have X amount of money. And theoretically, the building department, apparently when we bought this building, there was some kind of an agreement that we were going to do X amount of paving and stuff around here. And for whatever reason, that was not completed. Maybe we need to explore the possibility of paving the rest of the lot out here and or some of this other stuff with some of that money. Or is the paving too big a money problem?
Well, that's a great question. And I don't know. Have you seen any documentation on that?
No.
I heard that.
I've been told by city council members that we had an agreement there.
Yeah, but I mean, somebody ought to be able to come up with a piece of paper.
Yes. So I guess my next question would be, maybe I need to go to the building department and say, hey, what was the agreement? Was there a written agreement when we bought this building and certain amount of, when the conversion was done to make this area into the library, was something on that permit or not? Because that's where it would probably be. And so we maybe need to, because I have never seen copies of that permit or the prints for that addition or that finish off of this, of these areas. Because I don't think this was here this way when we bought the building, because this building was a moving and storage place at that time. And this was done to make it into usable space as a library.
And for my part, if you'll do that, I will try and go back and talk to Rick Brown, you know.
Well, the next question needs to be asked then, do we want to open this can of worms up or do we want to wait some more?
Well, Susan says no.
Yeah. Why don't we have Matt go back and look in the history in the minutes, because he's developing his expertise on finding things for me in old minutes. And so if it was discussed, it should be in the minutes, I would think.
Well, I would think you're going to have to go clear back to when this building was bought. And we made the transition, the library district made the transition from wherever they were at over there to
here.
This place up to be able to move here. So somewhere it would be in the minutes.
Well, I know this building was paid off in 2009. Yeah, but. So, but actually moving, do we know?
Well, no, we didn't. We didn't pay this building off until like last year. No. Last year was when the mortgage, the last mortgage was paid off.
It was 2019 or 2020. Or see,
I meant 09, my bad. Yeah. I meant 19. Yeah. I missed a number there.
Somewhere in it, it's just been recently.
Yeah.
And so what we need to find out is when was this construction done to make. How much of this stuff was here when we bought the building prior to them, I assume, making that into a library over there? I would assume the restrooms were here, and they may or may not have been.
Does anybody know when we moved over from Mountain Man?
Oh, right. That was a long time ago.
This building here was like 2002. Or something like that is when this was acquired. It's either 2000 or 2002.
I moved into Elizabeth 2006, 2007. The library was still in the little building over there because I went to that library and I was I think I'll go to Douglas County.
Yeah.
When I ran for commissioner in 2008, they were still there.
Right. And my granddaughters were little kids when it was still there.
Yeah.
Well, I know it was here in 2014 because that's when I moved here. And it was not over there. Yeah. So it's not, you have a window, 2008 to 2014.
So you're going to have a fish there. That...
not that it's of particular importance, or I guess I should ask, what is the particular importance to potentially following through with some of those things? I mean, it's our property, is it not?
Well, the trick is, I've been told that we didn't finish our contract, so to speak, with the building permit. So is the building permit still open?
Okay.
Never was closed. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm reluctant to open up a can of worms.
If we agreed to do improvements
right
at the time, one time, or if we were supposed to maintain
right
over time.
Right.
Obligate ourselves to do?
I guess that's what I guess the trick would be is go to the city and ask what was the original permit and what documentation came with that permit. That's what I think we need to look at. To see what we're committed to see.
Well, yeah, and I would also remind everybody at the table that this is the same group of people that couldn't find our, you know, any of our documentation or our plans or anything.
Wasn't even aware we had a retention pond.
Right. We don't want to offer too much information. What we just need to do is there documentation on some sort of a financial obligation to improve the lot out here so it met parking standards, I'm guessing.
Right. Okay, so that to me sounds like a project you and I can coordinate on.
Absolutely.
And then once we see what the time frame is, then I can go to the building department and say, hey, in such and such year, a permit was issued. And what is the final status on that?
Yeah, has it been closed? If not, if it's just been open all this time, can we close it, or do we need to actually have any work done in order to meet those standards?
If they don't have some documentation, then I can tell you that there's not as much turnover has been done there and the growth and everything else. I doubt there's anybody that could, you know, say, well, yeah, I was here and that this was made. If there's a paper someplace.
Then it's a bit more tangible.
Yeah.
Well, and that's kind of what I've, not that it's super related, but tangentially, that's what I brought into here. Susan and I have been looking for, things like the quick claim deed for this building itself, a physical copy of it. We have an electronic copy.
Because we know just what she and I looked at in the safety deposit box over at the bank, there doesn't appear to be anything there.
But we do, like I said, we have an electronic copy that Susan and I have located.
These are some things. We're kind of off the subject here on my treasurer's report.
But in that regard, I imagine it's the same sort of a situation where, you know, if no one kept track of it or it's in a box somewhere that, you know, everyone's seen the warehouse. I've done my best to find things, but
okay, that's my treasurer's report. I've made enough mess.
Thank you, Alan.
Alrighty.
I'm assuming everybody had a chance to go over the June 28th minutes.
Yes.
Anybody have any questions about those? And thank you for the work on those.
Of course, indeed.
Sheila did bring to my attention some just changes I need to make, typos.
Typos, they don't actually change the meaning.
No. Okay. So I'll get those changed as well as replaced. So.
Okay. So if nobody has any objections to it, can we get a vote to approve the June 28th minutes?
So moved.
I second the motion to approve the minutes, because I assume that needs to be a motion.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It has been motioned. It's been seconded. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, let's vote.
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay. And it's approved. Committee reports are, let's see here, Community Needs Assessment Committee. I'm on that.
Right. But you may not know the latest. I recognize words.
But I've been in bed a lot. So at any rate, I have nothing to add to that. But.
So our consultant is going to start in earnest in September. He kind of figures that nothing really happens during the summertime, and he'll have better chance of being able to get a hold of people. What we need to start thinking about is who we want him to interview, movers and shakers in the county that we would like him to interview about library needs, and, you know, or community needs. And then we'll also be doing focus groups in the different libraries. And so just thinking about that, we are in the process right now of gathering information for him. He's given us a whole list of things, and we've given him a lot of information already. Like the things that we're working on right now is an organizational chart that shows how we're organized here at the library. And then we're also working on floor plans for each of the buildings, so that he knows, he can look at it ahead of time and kind of think through it. So those are just some of the things that we're working on now.
So do you need scale drawings of like Simla?
We have scale drawings of Simla, and then we went in and populated it with shelving and furniture and stuff like that. And Nat's working on Kiowa. He was there in Kiowa today to work on that, and he'll be doing Elizabeth as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, so we should be good with that.
I'm just curious, what types of people, when you say movers and shakers,
we need to think about, you know, county government, local city government. He's only going to do, I don't, off the top of my head, I can't remember how many interviews he's going to do, but just, you know, who do we think would be important for, because he's also going to be representing us and what we're doing. So, you know, who would we want him to talk to kind of represent what we're doing? And also to find out, you know, about the greater community as a whole.
The thing that I would caution is that when you use the term movers and shakers in this county, that has different meanings to different people. And some of them would not be welcome to do this, because our eyes have got to remain laser focused on what benefits a clientele. And, you know, in particular, anything to do with helping the school age children, their parents, et cetera. So when you say movers and shakers, I'll throw out a couple of things. I would love to, without getting embroiled in anything to do with, you know, some of the recent things we've had with the school system, I'd love to talk to a few teachers. I'd love to talk to somebody who represents senior citizens. I think we have a lot of people on staff who are gifted at putting together programs that engage children. And I'd like to see those people included on that.
Sure.
And like I say, avoid if we can people who are who might have ulterior motives that go outside the purpose of the library.
Let's talk about it in the committee and take a look at the list and kind of figure out who we might suggest to the whole group.
Okay.
So, because it goes both ways. So he's an advocate for us as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So.
And again, going back, you know, right. We have ultimate faith in right. this person, especially since you
yeah.
had contact.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll, but yeah, let's, because I have a huge list of my own of people for me to go out and talk with just to get to know them and to listen. I'm calling it in my head my listening tour. So, you know.
Are any of those loan sharks?
No.
Stay away from loan sharks.
Yeah. No bookies.
No bookies. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know any bookies in town. So.
I'm not sure if we have any here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, but
sounds like we're on the same page.
Yeah. We'll talk about it in the committee.
Okay. Now, and I'm really looking forward to this, the Employee Handbook Committee. What is that?
So it's a huge project.
It is.
It's.
You know, I kind of thought it was bigger than what we had.
Well, we made a lot of changes initially, and then we sent it to Employer Council, and it came back bleeding.
Oh, dear.
But I don't know if you all have had a chance to look over the various red lines on the new version.
And I
see here that Susan sent us like the list of the changes.
Oh, okay.
That we are proposing.
And I can show you the markup that I think I sent this by email, but I didn't want to print this out for you. This is the one from Employers Council with all their recommendations.
Yeah, I have it right here. He wants all like a billion pages.
Yeah, it's.
You see, this is pretty weighty here.
And I have it up on the screen here too. If there's a page you'd like to look at, I can bring it up to do that.
So, you know, one question I have is, do you want to go through this tonight, or do you guys want a little more time to review all the changes? I know that Susan is eager to get this settled so that we can get the final in Paylocity, and I assume that will make Paylocity go a lot more smoothly.
Yeah.
What's the relationship there?
So we have to put, in Paylocity, we have to put our requirements for leave and all cool. that, and I've got them set up for each person. And so this, when we approve this, it's going to change those things. And I've been working with, so I have a consultant from Employers Council who helps me with Paylocity. Wow. And we were talking about it, and he's like, let's not make these changes now. Let's wait till your new.
Is that like item number 23 here at the bottom? Were you talking about number of hours?
That's part of what has to be set up.
Yeah, like or, under vacation yeah. benefits and
it's already
leave.
Yeah, it's already set up in Paylocity, and we've been fixing it and tweaking it and working on it, and I am making some recommendations to you all for some larger change. Like number 22 on the list
mm-hmm.
is pretty significant. This is actually something you don't know about.
Okay.
So right now our level is from like zero to through the end of your fifth year. And then starting at your sixth year, you go to the next level of vacation. And then from 6 to 10, you earned another level. And then starting at 11, you get another level. But in my opinion, people are moving around so much anymore with jobs that, and the standard is typically 5 and 10 years instead yeah. of 6 and 11 years. So this is one thing that I'd like to recommend that is a major policy change. And some of this other stuff is, And then I have even a question because employers council. So we're with sick leave. We've got two different. We have our own sick policy that we've been doing for years, which is employees earn 1 hour for every 20 hours they work. But that doesn't apply to people who are 15 hours or under or are substitutes. But the new law that they've put in, the Healthy Families and Workplaces Act, applies to everybody. And for that one, you earn 1 hour for every 30 hours you work. And there's also a lot of other regulations that go with that new law. So the employers council person was recommending, or she put in here, and so I highlighted it because I've got it wrong in two places. In one place, she wrote that we don't pay out when someone leaves, we don't pay out the sick time, but we have been in the past paying it out at 75% when someone leaves. But what I was planning to do was, since we have these two levels of our existing employees who earn 1 hour for every 20-hour work, they're at a different level so that they would be paid the 75% when they leave. But the people that earn the 1 hour for every 30 hours worked, they're only working a very few hours anyway. And I wouldn't, the law says that we don't have to pay them. So I wouldn't pay them.
In any event, correct me if I'm wrong on this. Are we obligated to pay anybody their sick leave out after they leave?
No, and I didn't even know until we're not even obligated to pay them our vacation.
Because we have this very weird thing in our policy. I noticed that at the end of the year, we can buy back people's leave.
Right.
Because we've been paying them out at the end. And of course, who wants to get hit with all this leave? When somebody's gone, you gotta keep the money in the bank for that. And how do you do that? I have very mixed feelings on the buyout thing, but I think that it does put us in a precarious position that we're
carrying that money forward.
Although I did notice in her blue line in here that she actually had proposed perhaps what we do is we, at the end of the year, allow them to carry forward only X number of hours,
right,
which we can also do, which would then limit what we have to pay out when they leave. And I don't know how the state of Colorado works, but I know some employers allow you to take your sick leave and put it onto your years in service when you go to retirement. But I don't think that works with PIRA. I don't think that would work because it's more of an IRA program, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is something that we still kind of need to discuss and talk about. And
when does all of this have to be wrapped up?
Well, this is a lot of information.
I don't feel the urgency that you do.
I don't want to push you into something that you're not comfortable with. I want you to feel like you have time to review it. And I really want to get Paylocity right because I've been, you know, we started with them in February, and I've been manually calculating the vacation with my spreadsheet, manually calculating, but still, and I have to, every month or every paycheck, I have to email our employees and say, I have just updated in Paylocity what your leave should be. And so.
So it's kind of complicated.
It just takes a lot of my time.
One idea I had is that if everybody could take like over the next 2 weeks some time to review the policy that we have here and answer these questions, and just send an email over, then we could possibly have like a here's a version to approve for the next meeting. Or if you wanted to do a working session where we just set aside time, some time to just sit down and just go through it.
I think we need to come up with a time before the next board meeting and give, let's say, 10 days or 2 weeks to review this and then have schedule a session some afternoon, maybe a Saturday. I don't know what the board members. Well, yes, a meeting with the trustees to go over what we're proposing for the handbook and try to get that hashed out before a club meeting. I mean, before a regular board meeting, and that way, I mean, we could call it. I don't want to call it executive session, but it's a meeting that it's not necessarily open to the public, i.e. for the board, the trustees, to hash over what you're proposing.
Okay, so this is the draft of what you think it should be right now.
Right.
And this is a list of things that need to be altered, perhaps.
No. Those are things that we've already changed.
Oh, got it.
In the draft. Yeah. And she also sent a red line that shows our notes and the notes from Employers Council.
Okay.
I'd like to take a step back for just a second. So if I'm understanding what Alan just said, it seems we would, if we had a full meeting, be obligated to advertise it and bring in a lot of outside people. And
but not for a working session.
I mean,
no, there's something in here about a special. You can do for a specific reason. We can only discuss this.
I was going to say, well, whatever it is, it's going to have to. It's going to have to be narrowly defined,
right.
or we are going to come under fire.
Right. It's not. It'll still have to be an open meeting. We will still publicize that we're having it. We'll just say that we're having a working session to talk about the employee manual and give the date and the agenda. And the agenda will be employee manual review. You know.
Okay.
That's it.
To me, that seems like the least painful way to do this.
Yeah.
We just need to agree to, as a board, what's a good date that we can, sure, is not going to intrude on our individual schedules. I don't know how everybody's commitment for Saturdays or maybe this could be done a weekday.
Depending on when it might have to be, but then I don't know. I've got wedding conference going on for the next month. And I know we want to get this done for the next month. So, I mean, I'll try and work with you on it.
I'd rather not do it on a Saturday.
Okay, but I kind of thought maybe that might be a problem. So,
if I'm the only one that's the problem, I'll try and work something out.
There's certain days of the week that I could get here earlier. Like Wednesdays is really hard for me to even get here at 6. So, just because I'm required to be in downtown Denver all day.
Mm-hmm. So what days are good for you?
Yeah.
Usually, unless I have an event at the office that takes me downtown, usually Tuesdays or Thursdays or Fridays.
Okay.
Or Mondays.
Yeah.
Because I've got some flexibility. Yeah, I've got some flexibility around the days, except for Wednesday.
Okay.
And if somebody else has planned something for me to be downtown.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to throw this out there. How about Tuesday, August 8th?
Sure.
Is that enough time?
What time?
That's like almost 2 weeks. Is it? Not quite 2 weeks.
A little, one day less.
I do have something that day.
Right. What about the 10th?
The 10th looks
clear.
That's
a Thursday.
The 10th looks clear.
Okay, what time? And it's still 6 p.m. or something like that?
Yeah, that'll work. 8th wouldn't work for me.
Okay.
Okay, Thursday, August the 10th.
Yeah, 6 p.m. Awesome, great.
Yeah, I'm sorry, my schedule is really
messed. We're pretty flexible, or I am at least.
And if anybody wants copies of anything, I did not, I only printed the new edition, but I didn't print like the markup or anything like that. But let me know if you want copies, and I'm happy to print that for you.
Okay. Actually, I'm willing to give up my copy of the red line, because it's real easy for me to get in the copy. So anybody who wants this can take
Ellen
it.
Ellen might want that.
You want that, Ellen? That's the red line.
The markup from Employers Council.
So that'd How about great. If I give you my unmarked one?
Oh, no, it's like, it's
the draft.
It's different.
It's different.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's really easy for me to get another copy of that.
Okay.
So in the draft where it's grayed out, is that?
Grayed out.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that too.
You got some, like you might have done yellow highlighter or something somewhere.
Okay.
No, that was like,
I see it. There's one on page 22. Okay.
6 p.m.
I don't know. I'll look at those. I don't know why.
Ruthann, what page would that be on?
Page 22.
I got 21.
Yeah, see, 22.
Oh, I see.
22.
Oh, yeah, those are mine. Those are my things. Those are my...
Because it's concerning some of the items you were discussing.
They don't match. That's why I have them marked, because they don't match. Okay. There's still things that we need to plug through.
And one other thing that I just wanted to bring up, you and I had talked about putting a table of contents on
this.
Thank you. And... I mean, it's something that we can add after we approve it, because it doesn't change the content, but no. I just want to make sure that we do add that.
That's great. Perfect. Cool. Thank you.
So, did we do any motions about this next meeting?
Did we just want to...
Just schedule it.
I think just schedule it. I don't think we need a motion.
That's cool.
We've all agreed.
Awesome.
So we're on item 7.
Yes, director's report.
If you guys are ready for me. Okay. So employee updates. We got two new subs that started on 7/10. They're going to be working at Elizabeth in Kiowa. They're Carol Berg and Megan Edwards. And Jen Yadov, our branch manager at Kiowa and Elbert, her last day was July 12th, and we celebrated her departure the day before. So we're really sorry to see her go. But I've been really working hard. And I posted Jen's position before she left, and I did phone interviews last week. We did 4 in-person interviews on Monday and Tuesday this week, and we had some really great candidates. And so I'm hoping to be able to fill the position quickly. I'm just moving ahead really fast. We need a new library service technician at Simla, and we're also looking for more subs at Simla, which is a little trickier just because it's out in the middle to try and find people to. And then I don't know if you all may have known, but Bev McGuire was one of our, she worked at Elbert years ago, you know Bev?
Yeah.
And we just rehired her to be a substitute for Elbert. So Sandy's going to go on vacation, and so Bev will take over while Sandy's gone. So that's really great, because that was her position a long time
She's
ago.
She's got it wired.
Yeah. And summer reading program has just been amazing. Some of the highlights, the sheriff doing story time at Kiowa. I don't know if you saw on Facebook, that was awesome. They had a great foam party at Elbert Days, and really great turnout for a pony event here and fire trucks, kind of touch a truck here. And they also did a fire truck event at Simla. And I guess they did like a water thing for the kids that they just really loved. And so they're working on just like a lasting kind of partnership with the fire department and the library. So that's really fun. And the summer reading program ends at the end of July already. And we're going to get together, the branch managers, myself, and our activity services guide. We'll get together on August 30th to celebrate all they did with the summer reading program. And we'll kind of talk to you about what they liked about this year and, you know, what we can plan for next year. We're going to be implementing Prospector, which is a really exciting program starting on July 31st. And so what that's going to allow you to do is right now you can place a hold on any books within our AspenCat, which is all of the libraries that use our catalog called AspenCat. But Prospector takes it out even farther. So you'll be able to place holds on books at like CU, CSU, Denver Public Library, Douglas County Library, and have them brought here to us. So this is really exciting. It's something that we've been waiting for a long time. And we haven't had a formal interlibrary loan program for quite some time. So this will kind of act as our interlibrary loan program. So that's very exciting. If you look at your statistics sheet in your packet, we're just really excited. Our statistics for circulation is just really nice compared to May. So our physical circulation in June was 9,700, and in May it was 8,700. So we're up 1,000, which is really, really significant. Our program attendance, of course, with summer reading program, we're expecting high numbers. And our program attendance was 653 for all of the programs in all of the libraries. So that is also very exciting. Our May program attendance was 352. So that's pretty big change there too. And then if you look in the bottom far right corner, you'll see our budget progress. So we've spent about 35.7% of the budget as of the end of June, which is really 50% of the year. Mm-hmm. So we're under budget. Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Yeah, obviously, is that a particular category that we're under budget in?
No,
or is it just
overall?
We're saving money on
that. Yeah, we're just or
is that because of personnel going in and out and
maybe a tiny bit, but not because Jen hasn't been gone that long. We just haven't spent, like with our collection, for example, there are areas that we haven't spent very much in buying for the collection. And I don't know, I'm just going to pass this around. And this is our, the end of the month for the whole budget versus actual. And so if you want me to, I can put this in the packet if you guys want to see this every month. I just don't know how much detail you want. So if you want to pass that around and take a look at that, just once
why don't we do it one time and then talk about it.
Okay.
If it provides useful information, then we can continue to do it.
Okay.
Or maybe we could do it on a quarterly basis.
Or quarterly.
Okay.
Just see where we're at.
Okay. So we'll do it for August anyway. I'll get that ready for you. The facilities, our contractor is doing well with grounds maintenance at Elizabeth and Kiowa. I think it's looking better than it has in the past, not as shaggy. And the master gardeners had an afternoon where they worked in the front yard at Kiowa and weeded out the xeriscaped beds. And they may have an opportunity to partner with us. I understand that they're losing their garden beds that they have at the extension office, and they may be interested in coming over and doing that in our beds at Kiowa. It's just a brainstorm at this point. So that may be something. And today they were supposed to install the back door at Kiowa, and I sent Nat over to hang out today and watch the progress, and they weren't able to do it because the frame was, if they take off, you'll have to say, so they were going to use a metal frame, but if they use the metal frame, they have to take off part of the building, and then they won't be able to attach the screen door.
Oh, gosh.
So they're going to have to, it's always.
They're going to build a frame.
Yeah. So it's always something. So anyway, we don't have a date yet for that again. So we'll see how that goes. And then I mentioned last time I was going to have some time off in July or August. Well, July didn't happen. So I do have some days I'll be gone in August. So I'll be gone Saturday, August 12th through Wednesday, August 16th. I'm going to take off to Kansas and go visit my folks there. And then I'm also going to take off Thursday, August 24th, to spend the day with my grandsons and go take them to their back to school night at their new school. So that's another day I'm going to be gone. Next month, my plans, I'm going to be working on budgeting and hopefully training a new branch manager. We should receive our property tax estimates August 25th. So we will know August 25th timeframe, like a better estimate of what we might get for next year. And I, around the budget, I've been having conversations with Mary Ellen and the Front Range Public Library directors we met last Friday. They were talking about what kind of raises they're giving among their staff. And so I'm just kind of, you know, thinking about what kind of raises. I have no idea how much money we might get, you know, so I don't, you know, but I'm sort of just, you know, trying to kind of work towards that. I'm also the branch managers and the activity services guides. I've asked them to give me budgets for programs for next year or for technology that they need to purchase for next year, all those things. And also next month for you guys is to do my evaluation sometime. So
that's it. Is that? I have a question. The last meeting, Lori had gone to meet with the Town of Elizabeth meeting. Was there anything that came out of that?
So I think they've kind of narrowed down one of their designs that they are wanting to go with. But they said that they had not set any location that was going to be like, you know, they've kind of narrowed down the design and what people want, but now they have to figure out where to put it and how to finance it. Okay. So
I know for some reason or another, the library was suggested as a place for the senior center.
Actually, citizen. This area just west of us.
Right. So the plans that the CU students did included, or two of the three plans had the library as the site, as the location. And but they've assured us that that was just representational, not that they were planning on that or anything like that.
Okay. So before it gets away, we probably need a committee to do your evaluation. And I think I mentioned to you that I thought I should be on that. Is there anybody that would like to volunteer?
Okay. So that's the next thing on the agenda. Robert is perfect. He got it. So I gave you a packet. The front of it.
You did your self evaluation.
Right. Yeah. The front of it has. This is the annual evaluation form that we've been planning to use for our staff. I don't really know if it's appropriate for me, but I mean, you can look through it and see what you think. And then I did just a real quick self-evaluation based on the staff self-evaluation that we're doing. And then I tried to write down some of the things I've accomplished. And then I was laughing at myself. Because in March, apparently, I wrote myself a little plan for the year, and which is like only three things long. My priorities for the year, you know, get to know what's going on, facilitate the needs analysis, and determine the next steps based on the needs analysis. So I think I could be a little bit more detailed than that. But
I want to put some fun things on there, like learn how to yo-yo.
Learn how to yo-yo? Okay.
Solve your Rubik's Cube.
Oh, no.
I can help you with that.
Okay, good. Somebody will have to help me with the Rubik's Cube. I can't do that. So, but yeah.
Okay. Is that a wrap?
That's it.
Okay, so direct yourself about how you're doing performance review at the August meeting. I think we covered that. So let's move to Proposition HH. And I have spent a lot of time on HH.
While you're in bed. While you're in bed.
Yeah. And I, I'm going to reserve some of my thoughts for the end of this, but suffice it to say, this is kind of agenda. You know, there's now 17 counties that have said, we can't do this, but it really comes down to trying to preserve the Tabor amendment. And looking at the people that are trying to put the kibosh on HH, it appears as though, I mean, the major organization that's doing it is using a lot of dark money. We don't particularly want to share with, you know, share what their, you know, underlying, their underpinnings are. And to be real honest with you, and I you and I have talked about this before, it is not crystal clear. When you put it on the scale, exactly what you're getting. I see that, you know, it comes down to the backfilling. How do we take this money from the state, the coffers, et cetera, and then put it towards schools and libraries and those kinds of things? And it really is kind of difficult to understand. Has anybody else, you know, taken a deep dive into this? I didn't ever like Tabor myself, but you know, I'm old. I wasn't happy with Doug Bruce in those days, mm-hmm. and I'm still not happy with Doug Bruce. So you know, he was doing that Tabor, going back that far, you have to remember that Doug Bruce was essentially a slum landlord, and property taxes and things like that. He went, you know, let's, you know, if you're not using it this way, then we need to refund that back to the people. It sounded pretty good, but today, by today's standards, it just, I just don't think Tabor needs to be there anymore. Yeah.
Question then, what agency or what person is deciding what groups, i.e. schools, libraries, get X amount of funds? Who's making those decisions?
Well, obviously it would be the state. I mean,
is it being done by formula?
It's based on the law.
It comes up and there's a set of regulations and they run it through the sausage machine and what comes out comes out.
So it's not our individual legislators that are saying, okay, schools get this amount, libraries get this amount, special districts may or may not get this amount, i.e. water districts, sewer districts. It's not changing mill levies at those different agencies or entities, so to speak.
Well, that's my understanding that it's not. But I mean, I was listening to, you know, Governor Polis talk about it, you know, and it's like his sort of approach is that, if these funds are sitting there in reserve, if we can do a refund and, you know, you get your Tabor check at the end of the year, somehow that comes out as a Republican benefit. And to me, that does not make any sense. You pay your taxes in. If you have a reserve, the state should be able to utilize those funds in a manner that's consistent with public needs and not, you know, some sort of a, well, let's just, you know, boy, I can't wait for my Tabor check. I mean, it's I don't get it. If we're going to tax people, then let's use that money to benefit the community. So
we build our roads.
Yeah. I mean, has anybody else gone the deep dive on any of this stuff? I mean, it's clear as mud.
That's why I'm saying there seems to be no clarity on who is going to apportion whatever. It's just money is there, and somebody's just going to arbitrarily say, oh, you get this amount,
well,
you get this amount.
Dug deep into it, but I thought that was based on a formula that's set in there, which has its disadvantages, just the same as somebody else going, this is how we're going to decide now how to apportion the money according to the needs. I mean, that's the flexible way, but then it's also rife with politics. And then you get on the other side, well, let's just make it a formula. But formulas don't always work out the way we think they will.
Is one part of the other trying to politicize it, make it look like our party was instrumental in you getting whatever? Is that what you're saying?
That tends to be, you know, I mean, if you look at it from a, and I'm trying not to have my political lenses on that, it appears as though, you know, one side is saying, look, this is, you know, we've been responsible with your property taxes, and if we've collected too much, we're going to cut you a check. And that feels like, you know, sort of a notion that's honorable and what have you. If you took too much money, you give it back. But unfortunately, the people that get that, again, if you go back to the roots of it and you see who gets the biggest chunk of that, and, you know, people with a lot of real estate, they like having that money come back. And I, see, I'm kind of a people guy. I would much rather it be, let's put a formula out there that benefits all of the, you know, you make your worthy claim in the beginning, how we're going to distribute these funds. And then you run the figures at the end, and it's taken care of. You don't, you know, we'll make it look like a gift from Uncle, you know.
Uncle Tabor.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
So, I don't know. I mean, that's why I was hoping.
Are we?
Up. I mean, I can't tell you how many hours. And it just, every time I read it, I just go.
Are they looking for us to come up with a figure, or tell them something, or are they... is everybody waited with bated breath for somebody to say something?
No, that isn't my opinion. I don't think they're looking for that. They want the public to weigh in on this. And again, if you look at the number of counties, it started with 12, it's up to 17. But if you look at it, it's all very, very conservative, and the numbers are not great. You know, I mean, in those counties, it's not enough to offset.
Where do you think this county is going?
Well, I can tell you they're a part of the lawsuit.
Yeah, so the lawsuit went through the middle court, and they right. and then it was taken to the Supreme Court, Colorado Supreme Court. So it has not been heard yet at the Colorado Supreme Court. So we don't really know for
it
sure.
It may not make the ballot.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, right now, but I mean, you can't just ignore it because I mean, they'll pull the trigger on that. I mean,
right.
it won't take them long to decide it, I'm sure.
Well, I have the feeling the majority of people in this county have no clue what the hell's going on. I don't know why I have that feeling, but that's,
no.
I mean, we're one of the few small
it,
groups
like, I don't know.
That seem to have any kind of an inkling that there's something going on.
Well, I don't know. You know, we went to that meeting and listened to you know, people that we thought or anticipated they were going to ask us, you know, to make certain sacrifices, you know, for the good of the people, you know, not take as much of our mill levy. And what it turned out to be is all of the former commissioners that are now involved with water districts and stuff like that are out there cheerleading from the peanut gallery about, you know, this is the most evil thing in the world. We have to get rid of this, you know, without really explaining the benefits. And they're looking, they've invited everybody at the table are people like firemen and police officers and stuff that, you know, you're going to ask those people to take a cut? I mean, what, so they don't have enough oxygen for the firefighters? Or what, you know, what are you asking of us? And then, I mean, did you hear any clear explanation on the backfilling at all?
I mean, I think they were trying to explain the whole thing at that meeting to, you know, to explain what the whole thing was. I mean, I've got, I have all kinds of documentation I can share about what the backfill is and how that works. And if you want to sit through a 45-minute video with me, I'm happy to, that talks all about Proposition HH. I would love to watch it again, and I would love company to watch it, because maybe it would help me understand it better.
Was it clear or confusing?
It's a very complex. Yeah. The whole thing is very complex.
I think in terms of place, orange,
where Alex says, "Clear as a muddy lake."
I think of it in terms of first place, second place, third, and fourth place. And if it gets more complicated than that, I have trouble. Yeah. That's why I work as a judge.
I it is very complex, and it's numbers. It's just, and there, I think, can be some, you know, I mean, I see some advantages in both directions.
Because there's the law itself, and then it's interacting with all of our other laws too, which,
yeah, because it goes backwards. It interacts with from 21 and 22, and now there's the 23 layer on top of it. So
to me, this sounds like a can of worms that got opened up that should have been slammed shut.
Well, I don't know if it you know, just if it makes the ballot, and I anticipate it will. I mean, if you just look at the sheer numbers of, if you crunch the numbers in those 17 counties as opposed to the, I mean, what, we've got 64 counties. So, you know, I mean, even out there, some of those counties are red and they're not joining in the lawsuit. So, I don't know.
The only reason they haven't probably joined is because the majority of their people are oblivious in the hinterlands. Mm-hmm. They don't have towns with regular meetings and stuff.
I would sit down and watch that.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. I really would.
I would like to watch it too. Yeah. I'm going to call my sister. She works for the governor.
Okay.
And she's a lawyer.
Oh.
And I'm going to ask her what she thinks about it.
Okay.
Maybe yeah.
Can you let us know when you're going to look at this, and I'll see, sure, if I want to.
Okay. No.
Fry my brain more.
If we have, y'all can't talk about it. You can watch it, but you can't talk about it because we have to have a public. We have to do a publicly noticed meeting.
Right. There would have to be another.
Right.
We'll just sit and watch.
Okay.
But I think it is fair.
Did I send you a link? I may have tried to send you a link to it, because I tested it and you can't, or I sent it to Robert, and you can't log in because you have to have my login.
Okay.
So,
can we do this like first part of the next week?
Sure. I'm happy to do that.
I don't know if you're, what your time frame is thinking, but I'm pretty darn flexible. Unless I'm going out of town, and I don't know, I know I'm not going out of town to judge for any time until, I think, September.
What works for you?
Monday.
What time?
You tell me. Actually, I'm good.
And then the ground rules are.
We can't.
Can't talk.
It's a silent movie.
Well, I think it's fair to sit in a thing like that, and if there's a term that you don't understand, then you can talk about that. It's just, well, that sucks. That's just a Republican notion of this out of the other.
None of that. No.
How about like 11 o'clock so that we can, then it won't ruin our lunch.
Okay.
How long does it last?
It's a 45-minute video.
So 11 a.m.
Okay.
Here.
Yeah.
Can I bring a dog with?
Sure. Bring a dog.
Okay. Because I have to be down in Peyton by 1:30 okay. on Monday. So it's like, and I can't go run home and get the dog.
Can it take about an hour?
It's about 45 minutes long.
So 11, so. Okay.
Yeah.
And then we can not talk for 15 minutes.
Right.
And I won't be there. I've got a conference starting on Monday that I'm managing. So.
Oh, darn.
But hold it. You wouldn't bring a chicken, would you?
I would bring a chicken if I could.
So we have a dog and a chicken.
I might not have a chicken left after the dog is. Yeah, she's a
I'll
good
mama bear about it.
How big is your dog?
It's a giant schnauzer. She's about 65 pounds.
I don't know. Maybe I could bring a lap companion here to.
Nora's a good girl. We're going to agility class. So what did we say? July 1st?
That's
Monday. July
31st. July 31st.
July 31st.
July 31st.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Let's see here. Position HH. Does anybody have anything more on HH?
I don't have
a clue. I think we hashed it over.
I think we are less illuminated now than we were
than ever. Thanks, Robert.
You got that right.
It may not be pertinent, and it's not really something for me to say, but I was just curious on the excess that you mentioned, who decides that? Is that self-reported from each individual district? Like, if we look at Susan's end-of-the-year budget saying, like, this is how much we got because of property tax, this is how much we spent, and that difference is then sent back?
It's a formula.
It's a formula.
And so, you know, it's a good question.
I was under the impression if we got it, we kept it. No?
Well, if they send it to you.
That's what I thought.
So.
Because it goes into one of our little money cubby holes.
It's probably calculated.
Only to be seen again when we build something.
Well, maybe we'll get more info.
Yeah, I was just curious about how that excess is defined.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it'll tell us, and who knows.
It won't be your Monday.
It'll be based on what we don't spend at the end of the fiscal year.
Okay, so Cal Conference Trustee Training, Friday, October 13th, 2023. I'm going to try and be there.
Great.
Is this similar to what we just went to?
No, that was the Special District Association. So this is Colorado Association of Libraries, and they'll be talking about trustee information. Here, Alan, you didn't get my email that I sent out. That's the agenda for the day on that Friday.
Is there a limit to how many people can go?
I wouldn't think so.
And we can ride up together.
Okay.
So we'll look.
Where's the limit? Because it's just that Friday, right? October
13th. Where is it at?
In Loveland, at the convention center in Loveland. So, and I can register you all. We'll work on that. So. Okay. So just keep that in mind, and we'll see what we can come up with.
Okay. The next item on here is house at 329 Comanche Street, Kiowa. Sometimes known as the House of the Rising Sun.
Or the House of the Setting Sun? It's on the west side.
I don't know. I get them all confused. Essentially, what it is it's this, the house next door
right.
to the church.
Right.
And
oh, there he is. Here it is.
And
it's for sale.
It's for Ooh. Sale.
It's
we can spend money.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
You could.
I'm just going to keep flipping through while you guys talk about this.
Okay. Show us pictures.
Deniability.
The, you know, the question is this something that we should consider purchasing? Now, you know, there is definitely a need. That if you've been in the church, you know, they don't have room for anything.
Oh, thank you. Anything.
And provide a certain wow. amount of parking, meeting rooms, offices yes. for the staff, et cetera, yeah. at Kiowa. Now,
how much?
The thing that I find a little problematic about it is that it is, while it's a, I think it's a nice house, I, uh-huh. you know, is it something, what is it, five what?
550,000, is that?
550,000.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, that would take a considerable chunk out of funds that we have sort of given the impression to the public that we're putting, you know, aside to build this building out. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't necessarily have to be that way, but, you know, it would certainly extend the period, you know, I mean, it takes us while to accumulate money.
So we'd be talking about financing it.
Right. Well,
also, yeah.
I was going
to
say,
what about
say if we pay 50% of it and put a mortgage on the other 50% that we paid X amount of money for?
Well, exactly. I mean, that's the thing, is how creative do we want to get?
I mean, if we're looking at trying to come up with a meeting room, because I've looked at this situation here. You could take the front part of that building and either knock down a wall or convert something other to come up with a potential meeting room that might seat 40 or 50 people. And okay. that would be better than what we got anywhere else in the county.
You could put together this room in that house.
So if you look, this is the dining room here,
right.
looking into the living room. And I don't know, of course, you never know what load-bearing walls are there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even just with that nice opening, you know, there's a...
Well, they have
a nice air conditioner.
A load-bearing, you can get around that.
Well, I was going to say, you could put a beam up there and make one hell of an opening to get a big room out of
so
two,
another,
exactly.
That's
without
view.
Too much grief.
Well, so, question on the church: do we own the church own. Building?
Yeah,
yes.
It cost us like a dollar. We bought it from the county.
Okay. And then, you know, I mean, I think financing it might be a sensible thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Look, but I'd be interested to see what the revenue is. Out of the Kiowa Library. I mean, I know that's not like a huge revenue stream or something, anything like that. But,
mm-hmm. yeah.
But you know, also if we're talking about meeting spaces and things like that.
Does anybody know about the population figures in Kiowa? Have they started to go back up? I know they were dropping.
Hold on, let me bring it up.
Okay, the town has. It's my understanding there's some kind of development that's proposed for the south side of the town, which
yeah.
totals to something like 2,500 houses,
yeah.
of which probably will take 20 years to build out. But
see, that's always been the problem with Kiowa is you can, I mean, they bought a whole water system thinking they were going to grow up and
never
have commerce.
It's never happened.
And they ended up having to pay for the water system, but they didn't get a house. It's growing that direction, but they don't have a lot of places to work or anything else. So
That's starting to change along 86, isn't it?
Well, it is on 86, but how many, I mean, again, a lot of the people that are moving in this area are going to have to go down 86 too. I mean, we don't have a lot of employment opportunities in this area. So that sort of business corridor there.
Well, let me ask this. Am I correct in assuming that those buildings that they're building on the east side of town, that's going to be a new city city public works buildings? Is that what they built there, that all those new buildings on the east side of the post office? Is that going to be public works buildings, or what is that?
I thought it was county, but I don't
or
know.
Or county. County yeah. buildings.
Yeah.
I don't know. So this is, I don't know if you can read this. This is from the 2020 census. And at the 2020 census, they had 725 people in Kiowa, and 310 housing units, 268 families. So.
That's minuscule compared to Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's look at Elizabeth.
It is, and you always have to kind of keep that in. I mean, I know it's going to go up. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt it's going to go up. But it's
going to be no thousand people either.
That would be within the city limits, because Kiowa obviously extends beyond that, the people who use Kiowa services.
This is Elizabeth. As of the 2020 census, 1,675 people. But see, they're looking only at Elizabeth, Incorporated Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do have data, I think, for this is the CCD census designated area or something. What's it? So this is for the Elizabeth area, the whole Elizabeth area.
Which is like Singing Hills, all of this over here.
And that's saying 24,000. 24,000 for all of Elizabeth.
Would it be cheaper just to build on to Kiowa, the church, well, in the back?
That's not a big footprint.
Yeah.
No, I know. Believe me.
Yeah. And just Davis.
It'd take all of our parking.
Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, I looked at the library in Kiowa, and you could build. We'd have to move our two sheds in the back, but we could literally increase the size probably.
You could double it.
Well, not double it, but the addition that's on the back end of the church building now, we could probably build at least that much bigger and still be okay. The problem of doing that, I'm roughly thinking that's $150,000 to do that kind of a wood structure. Is it worthwhile doing that and making a cobbled affair, so to speak, versus coming up with treating that adjacent house as a meeting room and putting a couple offices in the back and having a kitchen? We can call it the Library Community Center.
I think that let's just go back to the church for just a second. If you made that church any larger, you're just going to compound your problem, because you can't park a car
anywhere.
That's
true. That's true.
There's nowhere to park.
We've got tons of parking that comes with the house in the back,
right.
Especially if we got rid of that garage in the back.
Might even be more sensible square footage wise to move the library to the house and use the church as a community center. space as a meeting space.
The only thing I don't know about how much the, because you have to, library books are heavy, so you've got to have good, you know, solid foundation.
Yeah, it need an analysis.
Yeah.
But that's a thought too, because again, it sounds to me like we could come up with more square footage in the house to be a library, and there was a loft area up above where they could be a couple of offices for the librarians, for the staff that's there, and come up and then make the turn the church into a meeting room and so-called community center.
I mean, I take that we're kind of in agreement that we do need more space in Cuyahoga.
Well, and this,
that would be like right there.
This
with one caveat, which is we're going to have to sell people on the fact that it's going to grow and we're going to need it.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, we can then this, I won't say constant thing, but every once in a while, the county commissioners ask us, well, what are you doing to increase your, not footprint, but your
availability
to the constituents? By doing that, in my opinion, we have solved the problem in the Kiowa area for probably the next 10, 15 years.
Oh, I agree.
And then, so then it comes back to the northwest corner of the county. Do we forget that as an area and concentrate on this building?
Well, you're hitting the nail on the head because, you know, I've never had a commissioner walk up and ask me a thing about Kiowa, but I've talked several times to a couple of different commissioners that have said, what can you guys do to help us up there in the northwest corner? And my answer, which is pat now, is, well, first off, you can talk to the developers and tell them to give us the land, and then we'll talk, you know, because it's expensive. Everything over there is expensive.
Well, first off, there's no water and sewer.
Sure, we don't ever need
districts. Everything that's there, I don't know where Spring Valley water and sewer, what, how they're dealing with that. Is there a water and sewer district that's covering that? Or surely not. It can't be everybody on their own well and sewer over there in that development, because the houses are too damn close together. So there's got to be some kind of public utility.
There are metropolitan districts springing up all over the place. So is it to say the water is what they're interested in?
To my way of thinking, what we need to be watching is find some house, some old house up there, and I can think of one in particular on Delbert Road that's a rental house. Sooner or later, that thing is going to come up for sale. To me, that's a branch library. Would be as big as Simla for a lot less cost to do it. I mean, something, my thought is sometime within the next 24, 36 months, that house is going to come up for sale. And we could pull the same trick there that we're talking about in Kiowa.
Well, you know, we haven't completed our needs assessment, and that is part of like why we're trying to decide what we're going to do with this chunk of money that we have. And it seems like, you know, we got a choice. We have an opportunity right here for as long as it's available, because somebody might be making an offer today. And or, you know, so we could make the decision soon to make an offer on the house, or we could defer it to later and think about expanding in Kiowa, maybe something, an opportunity nearby will also come up, or maybe another property would be a better choice for us somewhere in Kiowa.
What year was that building? Is 1914?
19, or let's look at it. I don't remember off the top of my head. Is 1911 or something like that? Year built, 1915.
Okay. And the church is about the same age.
Yes. I think the church might be 1919, but I'd
have church, to. The major difference between the church and the house is the majority of the church is a stone masonry type construction, whereas the house is a total frame. So I guess the next question is, wonder if we could find out from a real estate agent, have they had any nibbles, or is it just sitting? Is the price such that it's going to sit there for a while before it goes?
So they have open houses.
Is that a clue to us that we maybe need to offer less money? And
they have open houses. This should say how long it's been on the market.
And it has not been on the market very long, because I found it not long ago, like a week. Because I told you guys about it right after I found it. Because I'm looking for houses everywhere in Elbert County. And this one.
But I have one question, because Robert, you mentioned getting permission or selling people for us buying this house. Who do we have to get permission from?
We don't. We technically don't.
But you made a comment about.
Well, the idea, the problem is we need to sell the public on.
Public perception.
The perception that we're expanding our commitment to the community as far as the library goes.
Let me be the devil's advocate there. So we go to Kiowa and we do.
Right, and then they complain we haven't gotten.
Yeah, and we haven't done crap over here, but. And we knocked it out of the park in Kiowa where there's 700 people.
there's only, what, 2,000 or 3,000 up in the northwest corner?
So, okay.
All right, and then.
On that discussion, let's go on there.
Yeah, public comment? I don't have anything.
What, on the house? Public comment. This may or may not be interesting to you. I thought it might be something to mention. Or is this any other business? Maybe this is other business.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll wait till other business is called.
Other business.
Okay. Why don't we go to number 13?
We're waiting with bated breath now.
I attended a meeting with the new Elizabeth School superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he has wonderful, wonderful plans for all kinds of things. But the one thing that I was perked up my ears was, he was like, maybe we could get a library in a school. And I was like,
I thought we had one.
Well, out at Elbert we do, yeah. But not in Elizabeth.
I thought they had a library.
They have a school library, but he was talking about having us come in and make their library for them.
Oh.
Save them a little.
Save them a little.
Do they really want
our
traffic in their building? I don't.
To me, we have the library here, why would we want to go over there to the high school, which is only, two blocks away?
No, we're talking Northwest. Singing Hills.
Northwest. Oh.
North.
North.
Oh.
So he mentioned that to me as well when I met him.
Yeah.
And so, it's definitely something to think about.
But they have building security and things like that.
Right. Those are all of the things that we're experiencing now at Elbert, mm-hmm. the lack of accessibility for the public, just on a regular basis, those are all.
And that guy talks to me from.
Oh, the Elbert, the gentleman that has the.
Yeah. He calls me. If he sees me in the store, he comes over and jumps in my cart. This guy wants us to have that, and he knows he's not going to even make any money off of it or anything else. He's just desperate to.
We're stable.
Is that the elementary school?
We're stable.
Is it the elementary school?
No, the deal you're talking about in Albert is it's a commercial building that's sitting vacant that he wants to sell it. If he would give it to us at a dirt cheap price.
He's not going to give it.
That's the problem.
He wants to rent to us.
Oh.
He wants a solid business in there that has nothing to do with marijuana. That's what he told me.
We could offer a smoking room in the back. Oh.
No. I mean, he's a nice enough guy, and you might be able to do something with that building. But I don't know. It just doesn't seem to be a priority right now.
Well, isn't there an issue to get out of the Albert High School? Because I remember you said you have to leave the books there.
Right.
Oh, right.
And it's not in the budget anyway for this year.
Right. Part of the agreement is that that they, if we leave, they keep our books too. So
just off the top of your head, how many books are we talking about? 500 bucks, 200 bucks?
I'd have to look it up.
We could systematically start going and checking out books and not turning them back.
I'll place holds on all of them.
Oh, good heavens. So I forgot to tell you in my report that I remembered in the middle of the night. So we had a book sale here on Saturday, and we had about 200 people in the library for the book sale.
Wow. Nice.
And the Friends, the Elizabeth Friends, made just over $700.
Wow.
It's very nice. Exciting. Yeah. Very exciting.
So, again, I don't know, maybe this is... Is our community needs deal, is he planning to talk to the Friends of the different libraries as potential as to where they're coming from?
He could, yeah. Okay. I mean, we can do that. We can figure out how we want to do that. Like, they could be part of the focus group, or they could be, you know, one of the movers and shakers.
Something okay. Like that.
Okay, anybody want to talk about anything else, or would you like to adjourn? Seeing nobody fighting to get their hand up.
Goad me into it. I'm making a motion that we adjourn the meeting.
Okay.
I can do that easy.
Yeah, do we have a second?
Yes, I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.